Very seldom do we ever have a genuine doctor, an MD, with a real practice, who is a researcher, a scientist, and an expert in a field that literally affects whether you can reverse aging or eliminate all kinds of anxiety, depression, mental stress that's going on. We got an expert that I have my students have listened to. We brought him in on programs, Dr. Neil Goodman. And you want to be able to right now write this, get a pen and write this down, because sure, people are asking me all the time, how do I get this? Level10biohacker.com. Level10biohacker.com is where he has put hundreds of his slides, training, mastermind training, taking you behind the veil to be your own doctor, take care of your loved ones, your children. Let's just go ahead and jump right in. I've got Carl Wallnau with me here, who has been the guy who's talked about neuroplasticity before I heard the term by anybody else, does performance coaching, athletic coaching, and he loves the idea of chemistry and physiology and how they affect peak performance. And then Chelsea over here is our producer. Very seldom do we get to bring her out, but I've got her in the studio today because she's the one who's always nudging me on these areas of, they're not the edge, but they're the unexplored aspect of health, such as the brain-gut relationship, which I never heard of. She's talking about it, and then we got an expert in the subject. Dr. Neil Goodman, welcome to the Lance Wallnau Show.
Thank you so much, Lance. Great to be on the show today.
All right, level10biohackers.com. I told everybody while he's talking, this is where you can go to get the information on this amazing man's training. I'm going to start, first of all, Carl, you're going to take on the subject of depression and anxiety and mental health. Chelsea, you're going to take on the why is the gut-brain thing something that is of interest to you, and where did you hear about this?
Well, I mean, that's my question. So I have been hearing that your gut is your second brain. And I always thought, well, you know, your feelings come from your brain. Sadness, anger, anxiety, happiness comes from your brain. But then I started hearing about, oh, your gut can be your second brain. What does that mean? Well, often I'll feel anxiety or sadness or anger in my gut. So then I started wondering, well, are those feelings coming from my gut? Is there something going on with my gut affecting those things? Because I'll notice, like, for example, I have celiac disease. And when I found that out, it radically changed my life. And so when I would start introducing bread back in my diet, I realized, oh, I feel really sad. I feel really depressed. But if I stop eating bread, my mood starts getting better. So I started wondering, is something going on there? And then I met you, Dr. Goodman, and then you have all this wonderful expertise. And so I'm wondering if you could share with our audience, is there something going on with your gut that can affect your everyday life in a way we don't realize?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what most people don't realize is that our intestines has its own nervous system. And that nervous system is referred to as the enteric nervous system, or ENS. So the enteric nervous system speaks to our primary brain. It's a nervous system that works independently, but yet has communication with your first brain. So if your enteric nervous system is affected in a negative way, you're going to feel it, and it's going to affect your mood and how you respond. So a case in point, say you are sick with a viral illness and you develop, say, diarrhea. Well, when you have diarrhea, in that instance, your body's intestine is hyperactive and you're expelling waste more quickly and you feel very badly. Well, your first brain knows that. And you oftentimes have a hard time getting out of bed or getting your energy level up. So that's related to that feedback loop. Similarly, if your intestine works in the opposite way and it's constipated, in that instance, then you're holding on to more toxic waste than you ought to. You're not expelling it in the proper way. And those toxins can be absorbed and then affect, again, your mood and how you feel. So yes, it does affect personal health. But more so, what's really important and what people don't recognize is that although our body has 37 trillion cells, our intestines have 370 trillion bacteria and germs that live within us. And those germs are able to actually produce, in many cases, neurotransmitters that we secondarily absorb into our system. And so in essence, that we have 10 times the amount of bacterial or microbial load in our intestine, more than our own natural system has. And yet they have influence over us because they can secrete neurotransmitters that respond and talk to our first brain. So sure, they affect our mood and our behavior.
Wow.
So I got to jump in now. What's the remedy to that? You described the problem perfectly. We're under siege from neurotransmitters that are in our gut. What do you do to normalize that?
Or lack thereof, because some of them are neurotransmitters that make us anxious or make us uptight, and others are ones that make us not responsive or focused. So they can work in both directions depending on what's growing in there. So the solution is, first of all, what is the food that we put in our body? Is it healthy food? Is it laden with preservatives? Is it laden with organic chemicals that are harmful to us? So typically we want to find organic foods that don't have pesticides, don't have poisons, that we're not taking artificial sweeteners and things that then disturb that microbiome, because we want that bacteria to be healthy that's in our gut. It's often like a garden. You know, if you have a garden in your gut, that's the bacteria. The gut is the soil. What's in there is the soil, and those bacteria grow in that soil. So we want a healthy complement of bacteria that are the proper type that we can metabolize and helps us with our digestion. And then as a result of that, we'll reap the benefit of having a healthy microbiome, and we're going to feel better.
Amazing. So, all right. By the way, what's the relationship of probiotics to that whole field you just talked about?
Yeah, so a probiotic is actually the bacterial growth that actually is in the intestinal tract. So when you take a probiotic, you are taking something external to you as a food, but it's really alive. Like, for example, yogurt cultures, that would be an example, or cheese that's a live culture, or sauerkraut that has live probiotics. Those are all helpful to help our digestion and to repopulate the bacteria that live there. That's a probiotic. A prebiotic, which is often confused, is the food that the bacteria use to grow on. So those are typically fiber and nutritional things that help the bacteria to be healthy.
I never heard of a prebiotic till you mentioned it. Prebiotic and probiotic. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. All right, Carl, what are your thoughts?
I'm sad. How do you fix that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, what's the traditional doctor's approach? Is to use a drug, to use a pharmaceutical, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing you come in, you see your doctor, you say, hey, I'm depressed, I'm really anxious. And he gives you a prescription for a pharmaceutical that's meant to address a specific chemical, usually. And that's usually serotonin.
Right.
So for example, if I name a drug like Prozac, or Lexapro, for example, that's another one, or Zoloft. Mm-hmm. Those are all drugs meant to help elevate your serotonin level. And serotonin is your happy hormone. It's your happy neurotransmitter. When you get it, you feel better. When you have higher levels, you feel better. Well, guess what? Where is serotonin made? Serotonin is not made in your bloodstream. Serotonin is not made in your brain. You don't eat serotonin. What makes serotonin is the bacteria that live in your intestine. 95% of the serotonin that is in your body is made by the combination of bacteria and the cells in your large intestine. And then when they produce that serotonin, you absorb it, and hence you feel better. So wouldn't it make sense to take care of that garden in your gut so that those healthy bacteria can make lots and lots of serotonin, rather than taking a drug to try to secondarily try to fix something?
One would think, but wouldn't the prebiotic and probiotic be considered drugs?
No, they're natural. So probiotics are bacteria. It's not a drug. It is actual bacteria. They can be lactobacillus and streptobacillus and different types of organisms that live in your gut that are cooperative or synergistic with your intestinal tract. They're meant to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a great part of our digestive capability that occurs as a result of this symbiotic relationship of bacteria that live within our bodies. So we need those bacteria, okay? Now, if you have that and they're natural and they're part of you, they're not a drug. Now, prebiotics are fiber. Well, fiber you find in vegetables and fruits and things that you ingest. Well, it just so happens that the probiotic or the bacteria love fiber. They love fruits and vegetables because that is their food. And if you feed them plenty of things that help them to live, then they do well. Now, the converse is, say you take a drug that's an antibiotic. Anti means against life, meaning it's going to kill the bacteria. And it's very nonspecific. It kills all bacteria. So it wipes out all the flora or all the bacteria in your gut. Next thing you know, you have diarrhea and you feel bad. So this is where we have the constant battle of learning how to use probiotics, which are helpful to counter, say, for example, taking an antibiotic, which you don't really want to do, but sometimes it's necessary.
Right.
So that's the balance.
Gotcha. I'm also curious. Oh, sorry, Dad, if you want to jump
no,
in.
No. Go, you can ask your question. What I was thinking is I want to make sure we land on some holistic strategies for managing anxiety.
That's exactly where I was about to go.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm curious, what are some holistic strategies
for
managing that? So
we want to clean up our diet, first of all. We want to make sure that what we put in us is not going to be harmful to our microbiome. We want to acknowledge that it's there, an important part of our body system, our temple, that we need to maintain, right? So we've invited them in there from the moment we were born, and now we need to care for them. So we want to do anything we can to preserve that microbiome. Then the next thing is to feed them appropriately, right? So we do that. Now, when we have people that have suffered from anxiety and depression, oftentimes we'll try to determine whether or not their microbiome is off. Do they have the wrong complement of bacteria? Are they constipated? Are they eating poor foods that maybe cause, say, for example, leaky gut? You may have heard of the term leaky gut. Have you heard of that term before, Lance?
Yeah, and I've heard it, and I'm at that age where I get hit by these advertising on every page that I go to in the news, and they always have these leaky gut and these pictures of parasites and all this other stuff, and it's like, what? They're hitting my target demographic because we got like a little more belly on us and it shows an older guy. Get rid of that fat. You know what I'm thinking? They're targeting me.
Well, that's different. That's different entirely from like abdominal fat and things like that. Leaky gut is very simply the loss of integrity of the internal lining of the intestine. So normally the intestine is like a lumen. It's like a straw, right? A giant oversized straw that has a skin around it that is meant to be intact. Now, if dirty material waste is running through that tube and you have your blood system on the outside of the tube, well, imagine if there was a break in the integrity of that tube. Now you have a leaky gut. You have dirt coming into your bloodstream. And your body is very, very good at identifying that. And when it does, it attacks it. So not only does it attack the bacteria that are leaking through that lining that's supposed to hold them in, but it just attacks everything randomly that even looks like it. So it starts to attack your brain. It starts to attack your thyroid, which is why people who oftentimes have problems with gluten or wheat allergies, oftentimes the body will try to attack that wheat molecule that has leaked into the bloodstream, but it sees the thyroid gland that looks very similar to it, and it attacks it also. And then next thing you know, your thyroid function goes down and you start gaining weight. So this is how this is all connected. So leaky gut is a situation that sets us up for whole body inflammation that can affect our brain, our cognitive function, dementia, onset of Alzheimer's, attention deficit disorder, and a number of other things that all come from eating bad food or fast food or things that create a inflammation of the integrity of that lining of that gut. And then our body starts to go to work and attack it.
Wow. So you've totally raised my awareness that the big issue is not going to be this other belly fat. It's really about leaky gut. When the intestinal lining becomes porous and the toxins are able to get into the blood system. Oh my gosh. Folks, get level10biohacker.com, because what Dr. Goodman is doing here is he's obviously describing the problem, but he doesn't leave you there. He leaves you with multiple solutions and interventions and technologies that will reverse these things. Level10biohacker.com. You want to go there and get a hold of the course where he talks about your gut is your second brain, anxiety and depression, a hormone therapy, epigenetics 1 and 2, intermittent fasting, epigenetics, as we found out before, is the whole field of cellular health and what creates it and what deteriorates it and how to reverse it. And I guess if I have a question, as we're heading out of time here, I can't believe we're out of time. You've had success stories, obviously. That's what fuels your research. Can you tell me a story of anyone who, in particular, is coming to your mind randomly right now, who's followed your advice and seen benefits?
Absolutely. I, over my 40-year career, have treated thousands and thousands of people, including children and adults. And more recently, where I've entered into the realm of integrative medicine in the last 6 years, I've been using some of these nutraceutical products, which I mentioned in my course, and I offered links and ways to get a hold of those so you know what you're doing, because I want people to be educated as to how to use these tools that most people are not even aware that the tools exist. So to be, first of all, realizing that you're not dependent on a doctor for a medicine, but you can use nature's pharmacy in order to heal oneself. That's the first realization. Second thing is that in terms of people who have been helped, I had a person who had a genetic predisposition to having a form of muscular dystrophy. This person, while we couldn't cure them of their muscular dystrophy, they had incredible muscle weakness and they had some secondary problems with tendency towards needing insulin as a drug. Well, when this person got started on this therapy, it delayed and forestalled some of the advancement in their decline there because of their muscles, their muscular dystrophy, but also reduced their need for insulin and also reduced their need for thyroid hormone. So they had naturally saved themselves thousands of dollars of every month because they weren't using the same amount and number of pharmaceuticals, and they were feeling better and their weight improved. So they definitely got healing from that. And that's just a small example of what can be done using food, nutrients, supplements in a targeted way towards those systems that someone is worried about.
Wow. Doctor, I'm curious for you, how has biohacking impacted your life?
I tell the story of my parents who passed away at a relatively early age. And of course, I inherited their genes. And I didn't want to die of that same malady, which is cancer in their case. And because I was given that genetic signal from them. Well, I chose to try to biohack myself by turning on pathways that would cause me to heal. And so far, so good. I don't have cancer, thank God, right?
Beautiful.
But also, I found that I had sustained some injuries to my back. I had a spinal injury where I was left with a neuropathy of my left leg that was plaguing me for many, many years. I did end up getting surgery from it, but I want to tell you that before I was activated using these products and the things that I recommend, after that surgery, it took me 6 weeks before I was able to walk without a walker. So I actually had to use the walker. I ended up healing literally almost completely. I re-injured my back. Now, let me just say, that doesn't prevent any of us from suffering an injury, right? You can fall, you can hurt, you can get in a car accident, lots of different things. Well, I had a worse injury to my back. And I had a reoccurrence of what originally happened. Well, when I got the surgery the second time, it was less than 24 hours, in fact, 8 hours before I was able to walk and did not need a walker nor a cane. So I recovered almost instantly.
Wow.
As a result of me being activated before I had that second surgery. So that's another example.
It's amazing.
Chelsea,
I have a
before
question.
We let the doctor go, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I have a question. Where do you see the field of medicine and biohacking heading in the next few years? And how can our audience, how can they stay ahead in their health journey? How can they stay ahead of what's coming?
Yeah, so I think epigenetics and the discovery of activating these cellular pathways is going to become the medicine of the future. I think people are becoming more and more disheartened with the fact that the medical industrial complex, the normal mechanism by which people see doctors, that's sick care. You wait for a problem to happen, you get sick, and then you look for a solution, which is basically a Band-Aid. What we're trying to do is get to the root cause of why people get sick. What caused them to decline or fall into this pattern where they now manifest symptoms that we would describe as a disease and now has a name, right? Instead, really what we want to do is get to the thing that can reverse that trend and get them to heal. So I think that's where the future is, functional integrative medicine. Washington State University said in 2015 that activation of the NRF2 pathway, which is a big part of what I do, is going to be the future of what is going to be the most incredible therapeutic and restorative phenomenon in the history of health. And they published that in their research studies in 2015. So I think that's the future of medicine moving forward.
Activation of the NRF pathway.
NRF2, NRF1, there's a number of different pathways. They're all epigenetic pathways.
Amazing. Amazing! And listen, man, you got to learn how to be your own doctor. This is the whole thing that Dr. Goodman's taught. He schooled us. We had him speak. He's always spellbinding because he illustrates. He's kind of like, listen, you're the perfect combination of the way I like a doctor. Real nerdy in one sense, specific, disciplined, focused. But then when you go on the stage, you become animated. You're like, all of a sudden, you've got props, and you're like the master of ceremonies, and you become the great teacher, and you put all this together in your course here, the training. Do you use any props in your studio, or do we have to get the live footage for that?
Well, yes, I do. I use props in my studio, but I was going to, it brings to mind something just informally, just to say, you know, I was trained as a pediatrician. And pediatricians love to talk about the gut, and we always ask our patients, how do you poop, right? What is your bowel movement like, right? What can a doctor ask that kind of question? Well, I'm a pediatrician, so I naturally had an instinct and an interest in this science about gut health and so forth. So when patients come in and see me in the office and I start asking about poop, they're just like, oh my God, what is he talking about? Boy, this is really a, breaks the ice. So I want to just say that nothing is beyond discussion when we hit the stage or we do a presentation. And I try to teach my medical students and now my audience in a similar fashion. So hopefully it'll be fun.
Is it Austria that has those toilets where it catches the feces so that way you can inspect it? I don't know. You might want to look into that for your office. I'm not sure.
Now, that's information that I didn't know, Carl. But, you know, if you have pictures, I'll use that in my next talk.
Oh, my God.
Info. Happy to help.
Well, I want to land the plane at this point. I want you guys to go to level10biohacker.com. And you want to get a hold of Dr. Goodman's extraordinary course. And I'm going to tell you again, the moment of truth for me was when we had a mastermind over there at the Trump Doral. We did a whole health and wellness weekend focus. We had all doctors and Pastor Shirley as a panel, and one gal who was a fitness coach. And what we discovered was that even though you have a group of people that are not schooled, this in the mastermind, a lot of us were just like students. Dr. Goodman came out and talked to us like it was a medical class. And when we started getting kind of like disengaged, he just jerked the slack out of the room. He said, listen, your children, your spouse, your life, your destiny is too important for you to trust someone else to tell you what to do with your body. You've got to learn in this century to be your own doctor. I'm giving you the information you need. Bam, we all woke up. It was like, be your own doctor. That's the line I want you guys to remember. Go to level10biohacker.com and consider this to be a gift, because it's hundreds of thousands of dollars to do the 40 years worth of medical training this man's done, but it's made it such an affordable price that you and your family can become, let's just say, competently informed about how to take care of your own health. And even most of the Q&A was diagnostics. People asked questions, and then the doctor went around and said, here's how the doctor goes about analyzing it, but behind the scenes, here's the science he's really playing with. And I just love what you do. And I think this is an imperative for families. Be your own doctor would be the domain I'd choose, but level10biohacker.com is the one we went. By the way, some people don't like the word biohacker. Someone gave me some negative feedback and said, oh, we don't like hacking. What does biohacker mean?
Okay, so the way I look at it is bio means life, and hacking means to improve. I want to improve the function of life. So that's where the term came from. And so oftentimes people who are using natural foods, natural mechanisms to try to heal and improve themselves are referred to as biohackers. If you're taking vitamin D as a supplement and doing probiotics, you're a biohacker. You're not doing anything bad. You're helping your system to improve. So it's got no negative connotations at all. We're not hacking a computer to get into it and to destroy it. We are hacking our own biological systems to improve ourselves, to make us the best version of ourselves.
The very best version. On behalf of Chelsea and Carl and myself, we're already overshooting the runway on our time. But thank you, Dr. Goodman. You're always intriguing to listen to, always enjoyable to be with. And we want everyone to go to level10biohacker.com. Stay current, stay in the conversation, stay informed. You'll stay alive and you'll stay on the cutting edge of what God is doing. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.